Shin Chof Zion, Sif Gimel. In regarding, that's like a bit like a rubbing, the kli, a person would like rub their skin with the kli. So, she can't use this kli ha'osir l'kach, which is made for this purpose. Unless the person was dirty and he needed this brush to sort of get the dirt off. Okay, let's see Rashi. Okay, you can tell what day of the week it is. It's a cotton chess. In my garden, the hook, again, the reason why this is also is because the hook moved in the cold. It's a weekly type of procedure they used to use these type of things to rub on the skin. You can rub your hands on your skin. Actually, where you shouldn't do it hard enough, that's going to cause a wound. Okay.
So going back to the previous Mishnah Berurah, when do we say that something's uvdin nechol, and when do we say that it's just the normal way of doing things?
Good question. Uvdin nechol is very not clear category. What Chazal felt that is, they came along with certain things, certain type of actions. Chazal felt that these were too reminiscent of the people for weekday activities and would take away from the Shabbos atmosphere, and they asked them. That's the Rambam is mashma.
So we don't generally say, unless something is specifically labeled as uvdin nechol.
Right. We can't generate those ourselves.
Okay.
Some say uvdin nechol is those type of things which eventually could lead to malacha that they you know, Rambam seems to say it's somewhat arbitrary. It's not that we're saying, but along those lines. Hoshel l'kach, you can't use a kli which is made for that. I'm reading Gemara. So, however, if you had a specific kli made for Shabbos, a Shabbos one to rub to this using to rub on the skin, that's mutter. You know, because this is not a weekday one. This is the Shabbos one. So, even though the action is the same, because you've had to be using a separate one set aside for Shabbos, makes it mutter. We'll meet that idea again, other places. Custom are going to rum. And he said, "Nogu absulo is liyos lem kli misar chazir miyuchad the Shabbos." Absulo masik kuvin the chol. So they have a hairbrush made out of sar chazir, the hair of a chazir, and they have a special one for Shabbos, and that's so the brushing issue was taken care of because of the fact that it's not uvdin d'chol because it's its own special Shabbos brush. But finally, El B'Sef Simen Shin Gimel Mishnah Berurah, Yigam is that in a mutter ki im li sakin boi ma'at as a saris l'hashkivim. What you're allowed to do with this designated Shabbos brush is limited. It's not just pat the hair down, that shouldn't be flying all over the place. I will listen by it. But to actually comb out the hair with the brush is also af bezem. She actually shall eat loish sayer, because it's going to cause hairs to come out. And Mishnah Berurah there says that it's a psik reish that you're going to pull out the hairs, and you want the hairs to come out because you want the hair to look nice. So you want them to, you know, whatever is loose to come out. So it's nichole, and it's also. So it's a psik reish nichole. So you're dealing with a very chomerdika issue. So you can't comb in any real way. You can just sort of like grab the hairs which are loose and pat them down. Mitun office, if the person is dirty and needs this brush or whatever they used to use, this type of item to rub off the dirt, get the dirt off of the skin, so that's mutter. The sula mersik ayereis hagerud, you're not doing because you're trying to just like do a weekday thing, you're trying to clean something off, and that's mutter.
So from this, do we say that if something will for sure not remove hair, then would it be similarly mutter to use them?
Then you, if something would you know that it's such a light type of a touch that it doesn't pull out hair, then if you have a special Shabbos one, it's mutter.
Special Shabbos one, okay.
You know, you have to designate one for Shabbos, and then it has to be that it doesn't have the propensity for pulling out hair, which is almost impossible.
What is the...
We assume in halacha that when you brush your hair, you're pulling out hairs.
Uh-huh. So why does it have to be designated for Shabbos if the weekday one would do just as well? Because it's assumed that the weekday one is going to pull out hair.
No. Just because otherwise you're doing weekday activity. You have a special Shabbos one. This way it's not Uta Dechol. I'm not using the same one I use for the weekdays. Two separate problems. Yeah?
Okay, so for a kli that's used for the chol. And where do we start saying that you need a special...
And the mashal is saying a toothbrush. So even if I don't have a problem with... I'm not going to use any toothpaste, so there's no problem of mereach on the toothpaste, something on the toothpaste. I still can't use a toothbrush, my weekday toothbrush, because that looks like the chol. I'm doing the same way I do it during weekdays. I have to have a special brush for Shabbos. It could look exactly... I mean, do the same... bristles, and I don't have to make any, it doesn't have to be anything different, but it has to be, I have to have one set aside for Shabbos. We'll see later on, some poskim will raise the question of playing chess and Shabbos is Uvdei Dechol. So if you have a special set for Shabbos, so you're allowed to play with that set on Shabbos. You know, that's
interesting. Chess, I wouldn't have thought of that one.
What?
I wouldn't have thought of that one. I mean, there's a pattern with, a bit of a pattern, although it may not be the main reason, for with the brush or the comb, the toothbrush, because the weekday one is activity and actually involves malacha. I realize that's not always the issue at all with Uvdei Dechol, but
right, right, correct.
But if there is something that's permissible that normally would involve malacha, it would make sense in those cases that there would be additionally an Uvdei Dechol because to remind you that you're not
going to
do it in the way that you would do it during the weekend.
That's a good point. Dalet. Okay. Lo yosuch raglu b'shemen hu b'sech ha-min al ha-sandal ha-chadoshim. You can't put oil on your foot while it's sitting in the sandal or the shoe. You know, so the shoe was somewhat open or the sandal was somewhat open, so you could put oil on. Well, the problem is, while you're doing that, the oil is going to get from the foot onto the shoe. So that process of the oil will now go into the leather of the shoe, and it's making the shoe softer, better, etc. So you have a problem of ibud. It's like you're doing ibud, which is the process of tanning or preparing the leather for usage. Avosach ragloi. You're allowed to put it on your foot, and the oil's on the foot. There's no shoe on yet. And afterwards, he puts it in the shoe. That they did nasser. Or similarly, a person can put oil on his body, like we were saying before, and if he wants to lie down on a leather couch or a leather. Cover on the ground when they put, you know, when he lies down on that, so the oils he's putting on his body, not on the leather. It's mutter. Both of these cases, but it can't be such a thick layer of oil that when the oil is going to rub off from the person onto the leather, will be enough that it would cause ibud in the leather.
What is nishuf?
It's flowing off.
Misagel is similar,
running off. Misago means to roll around. You mean lying down on this, you know, on this oar.
Oh, he's lying down. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Feel yeshba kedem the tzachzachoy, even though there's enough oil that it'll give a little bit of a shine to the leather. That's not called ibud. It's not that's not the oil getting absorbed in and actually changing the leather. It's just giving a little bit of a shine. That's mutter. But you can't have kavanah for that. Okay. So that's the Mishabur in your base. Sivkat in your base. Lo yosuch. Dine. Ibud or hu echad mi avos malachas. One of the 39 avos malachas is the malacha of ibud, having ma'abed the leather which is taking it from a skin and transferring it into making it into a useful leather item. Vibud hu, ibud is im humaleach esaor. Ashim abdu shadavor mishderach l'abdu. Either use salt or other types of chemicals which you use to do ibud. So the problem is one of the problems is you want the leather, the hide of the animal has too much oil, different fats and liquids, etc., which it's going to rot. You need to get those out and make the leather by drying it out and remove it so the salt dries it out. These things dry it out. They also change it a little bit. Mechaim. The Rambam says im deris ha'or baragloi. Ashi's kasha, they would step on it. They would jump. They would walk on it or jump on it. It also causes the liquid to come out, and it causes the leather to change. That's also part of the process of ibud. Ashamracha biyodoi, he softens it with his hand. Umoishkoi, and he stretches it. Umashur sekederek shuratzanim oisim, and then he pulls out in all the directions and equal directions to stretch it out. All those things are part of what the Ratzon, people make straps, people with work with leather, Sakayev, who told us Ma'abed, because that's a told of Ma'abed. A person takes oil and rubs it into the leather, and that makes it softer. That's all part of the process of processing the leather. Gam came in ibud hu v'chayv. That also goes under it's told of ibud and it's chayv. Chayin sar shizor ben tam zeh shelo limshach minol chodesh b'shemen. You can't take a new shoe and rub oil on it. V'chayonim because of the chiyuv nami yesh b'zeh. That scenario you're talking about not only would it be us, it would actually be chayv korban chatos. V'yesh osim gam minol yashin. Some say that not only is it us and a new shoe. Even an older shoe, which that's your mom is still processing it, but even an older shoe, it still benefits it, and it's also. Perhaps on his head, nefishi ame ha'oritz, v'yolahogol gam b'chadosh, we definitely should be machmer by old ones, because people will not understand the difference between new and old, the ramer ratzim, v'vadi yesh tachmer g'b'chol gam, you should be machmer.
So that sounds like me'ikor adin, old is not
chayav. Well, he's saying two arguments. Some say that the Rambam says no. The Rambam holds even old, and he says the Chayyim adds. But nowadays, anyway, even like the Rambam, when the Shulchan Aruch seems to add in Chadashim, or the Ramah seems to add in Chadashim. So going with the sheet of the Rambam, even so, we should machmer even by Yeshanim, old ones, because of this people not understanding the difference.
But that's the Rabbanan.
That's the Rabbanim. The Ravid holds that Yashin is also, I'm not sure that he's the Rabbanim. But the Shulchan Aruch is not passing like the Ravid.
Well, it's a little hard to understand the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, because he says, V'yesh oshim osrim gam b'min al yashan uvifrat bezman hazeh.
So the osrim gam b'min al yashan, if you look at the Shara Tzion, that's a Ravid. Mm-hmm. And then he quotes the Chayyim, now it's the Chayyim talking, and he says, and definitely nowadays we should be marked even by Yashin because of the problem of the
I see.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Hashem, and if your goal is to darken the leather near the Yesh less of the Kuliyama, Mishum Chashash Tzviya. So then you have another malacha which is coloring, dyeing something. So you have, besides the malacha of Ibu, now you have a problem of Tzviya. So those are the potential problems which apply over here. So even if it's an older shoe, but if your plan is to dye it by doing this, you're adding this oil, and the oil causes it to darken, which that does happen. So that's what he wants to do. That's survey. Or even if you have a shoe which already is black, but the black is sort of the color is weakening, and you want to put your polish on and darken it again and make it look more black. So that's malach of survey. So once there's an itz of ibud, Chazal came along, you can't even cause it to soften, and therefore you can't put oil on your foot which will eventually work while it's in the shoe, because it'll work it from the foot into the shoe.
The Shulchan Aruch says about
sach raglo, a menicha b'mino. Well, we're going the first thing. You can't put oil on your foot while it's in the shoe.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And on that he says, that's also by Chadoshim. The Mishanim Su Ein Ba Mishum Chashashi, but according to the Rambam, it's no longer Ibud, it's already been made into functioning leather. So you're not really doing anything, according to the Rambam. The Rambam Shita is Ein Ibud Acher Ibud. Once it's Ma'ubud, you can't be Ma'ubud. The Ibud doesn't work a second time. Which has halachic implications, actually, in Hichlus Tefillin. If you didn't do the first Ibud Lishmo, you can't go back and do it Lishmo and solve your problem, because it's Ein Ibud Acher Ibud, according to the Rambam. So it was Ma'ubud Shal Lishmo. It's not called, you need Ibud Lishmo for the purpose of Tefillin, etc. So it has implications beyond Hichlus Shabbos. I will soch, but you can put it on your foot and then put your foot into the shoe, because right now the oil is not in contact with this leather, but it can't be so much oil on your foot that it's going to get absorbed into the leather and affect the leather. If there's enough oil there that it will, that you're putting oil on your body or on your foot, and it's going to go into the leather enough that it's going to affect it, so that's still awesome.
So it doesn't... Like, let's say you just wanted to darken it a little bit. Like, you had actual kavana, but you didn't put enough on your foot to really make it a huge difference. Sounds like kavana doesn't matter, even if you did have...
Well, that would be... Well, no, he's saying all the way around. Over here, the person's kavana wasn't to affect the leather. But since it's... You know, so we say... So it's going to affect it, it's also not going to affect it, it's mutter. The person would do a pikavona, so, I mean, whatever he's being accomplishing is accomplishing, so that'd be a problem. Tezayin. Filat tzachzucha. There can't be enough, even though you're going to cause it, you're not going to do ibud, you're going to do tzitzuch, it makes it shine a little bit. That's, even though it will accomplish that, since that wasn't your kavona, it's mutter. Okay, dimechaben begeguli, because it's only mutter if you're not intending for that. Because if you're intending for tiksuach, dimechaben begeguli al gabi, or your intent when you roll, your person's lying on the leather, rolling on the leather, or besoch raglo manicha b'middle, or he's putting oil on his foot and then sticking it in the shoe. If your kavana was kedus hafseicha or ayrei Hashem to make it shine, aser. Rashi learns it's the Rabbanon. They asked it because tzitzuach does affect the leather to make it shinier. That if you allow that, people might come to do ibud. So if you have kavana, it's also. Koshkin hechash mashiach aminol b'shemen. If you put the oil directly onto the shoe, filim b'shemen muat mechamen rakli say the tzachzuchoy the also. If you put it directly on the shoe, even the person's kavana was just to give it a shine. That's going to be usher, because people will say that's mutter, they'll do ibud. They'll do ibud.
What's interesting in the verb of sheach and yasach?
Which two words?
There was mosheach, and then there's
soch.
Soch, yeah.
Don't know. That's a question. They're both, you know, anointing or putting on oils. A person wants to shine your shoes with a polish, a black polish. It's called vixen.
Black.
Like a back type of a black cream. Because it's Eretz Yisrael. Also, I feel like you're in a Yehudi. Also, other also. Even if you had a goy do it, you cannot benefit from the shoe which was done. Till B'teshi Yesu after Shabbos. Vida, the linyan chi of chatas be, but in regards to the Isa de Raisa, which is expressed in chi of chatas, Now, what's the problem? The problem, the Rashi holds that the problem is mimareach, because you're spreading out the polish. You're taking the hard polishing and spreading it out. So, if the shoe has, the color has lightened and you're darkening it, so you have tzevei, that's the Rashi. If it's a hard cream, you know, it's a cream which is, you know, hard, and you're spreading it out, so you have mimareach, the Rashi. You're spreading out the, smoothing out the cream. If it's a, would be like a liquid, and it's already dark, so that would be the sort of tzitzuach. You're making it look nicer, which is gzeira derabanan ato ibud. Midad linyan the chiyuv chatas be ibud. Regards to the chiyuv chatas be ibud, chen linyan hafshatas or hugam ken meleches deraisa. So the melacha of hefshet, flaying, they're taking the skin off of the animal, which is also when the lamed has malachas. So the shear of how much does he have to do, how much leather does he have to work with in order to be chai of a korban? We have many of the malachas, there's a concept of shear. There's a certain amount, that the same way it comes to, we have by Yisurim of Achil in the Torah, a person eats a half a kazayas, he's not chai of a punishment for it. It's also in the Torah, we pass him. So by malach HaShabbos also there is a concept of shear. So what's the shear? Who im yesh by shear kedei lasis kameya? It's enough leather which you can make a small kameya out of it, a small amulet. Then you need surah filah b'kol shu, but it comes to that it's osur, any amount is osur. Okay, hamafarak duksustus me'ala klaf. The person takes the duksustus off of the klaf. There are layers in the animal skin. So what does Mishabur explain? Duksustus. Who chelika or shel tzarabo? So that's the part of the hide which is facing towards the flesh. V'klaf who chelik shel tzar haseir is the part of the leather which is part of the skin which is towards the outside, towards the hair. So if you would pull those two layers apart, Reza told us mafshit. Mafshit is flaying the hide off of the animal's body. When you take apart the two layers, it's a toldo of mafshid and it's a chiv derais. Okay. Simen shin chav ches din chalav shabbos boy mem test sifim. So we're going to see a lot. We're in the simen for a while.
To get a certificate for this.
Okay. So now we mentioned already yesterday that Chazal have three madregas when dealing with medications. A person who's totally healthy, a person who has what's known as mechesh ba'alma, he has a not significant pain. A person is so ill that he's not full of mishkav. He's already in bed because of it. So, when you're dealing with doing malachas, the rabbanon and the raisa, actual malachas, is one level. But the question of taking a medication, we're not dealing with taking medications, because you might come to make the medication on Shabbos. So they only asked it in the middle group, because he's in pain, and therefore it's important to him to get this medication, so he might forget himself and do it. On the other hand, he's not so ill, the Chazal felt the need to be makel and allow him to have it. The person is totally healthy. So you know, if he has it, he has it. Doesn't have it, he's like, oh, I got to go start grinding. He doesn't really need it. He's healthy.
What's he taking it for if he's healthy?
That's a good question. Very good question. So we'll discuss later on when that raises the question of a person, let's say, taking a vitamin. It's a person taking a vitamin just because, you know, he read on the computer, it's good to take vitamins. That's one halacha. A person taking vitamins because the doctor said that he doesn't have a deficiency yet, but he has potential for a deficiency of vitamin and whatever, and he better take vitamins. That's a different story. So he's healthy right now, but he's taking it because he has a real need. So it might be a different halacha, because then already he does have a pressure to take it. And a person totally, actually, nafal mishkab is ill, so chazal or mekel. Mishi yesh lo mechesh ba'almi. Just has a mechesh ba'almi.
Sounds like Rebbe is like learning that vitamins are vade medicine.
Well, we'll discuss about it more later on. It's more going to run later on. Mishnah Berurah closes it. The This person he has a pain, but he's healthy enough that he's able to walk around. He's not Nafal Mishkav. Now, Nafal Mishkav either means a person is in bed, he's ill enough that he's in bed, or that he belongs in bed. You know, a mother's got three kids and she's got to get up and take care of her kids, even though she's sick with the flu, you know, and her husband's out of town on a business trip. She's walking around, but she belongs in bed. That's called Nafal Mishkav.
So Nafal Mishkav is not like objective, it's subjective. Like, you know, like if you're a person or you have a headache, so you go to bed.
Well, it depends. If there's a headache, because a person has a headache. Nafal Mishkav means that the body is ill enough that you belong in bed.
But I'm saying, like you know.
It's a personal judgment.
Right. Is it, I'm asking, is it a personal judgment? Like, I know, like, let's say I know I'm an istinus on this, and I know that, you know, little aches and pains I get very reactive to, and I need to go to bed.
Theoretically, I mean,
I like to go to bed. Going to bed doesn't mean
going to sleep. Going to bed means going to bed. It means you feel ill enough that you can't get around. Uh-huh. The guy says, "You know, I got a headache. I'll go to bed. I'll feel better in the morning." That's not called Nafal Mishkav. That means the guy's in bed, not asleep.
Uh-huh.
All right, you know, the person is so worn out and so ill, he just you know, you got to get into bed because you can't function. You know, that's Nafal Mishkav. I mean, okay, I'm over it. I'm traumatizing a little bit, but that's the point. Yeah, but it is subjective to some. You know, different people react to pain differently. In other words, one person can have a pain in their hand. They bang their hand against something, and the pain in their hand is so throbbing that the whole body feels weak because of it. That's called Nafal Mishkav for that person.
Right.
Another person, you know, well, just go right there. You know.
A hand, anyways. Maybe it's a kind of
no wound. Not a wound involved. It's like, you know. Okay, also last is like Shum Rafua. I feel like any Yehudi, Xer Mishum Shrika Samon. We can't get involved in any type of Rafua, this person, even through a Goy. Mishtabura Aleph, Mechesh Ba'alma, Vumiskazek. So, if it's very painful, the pain has caused the whole body to feel ill. Or he's actually taken to bed because of it. No, it's not dangerous. Refuah, which is not involved in malacha, is permitted. Like we said before. So we'll see later on, there are different opinions exactly what's permitted, what and when. But there are definitely scenarios where a goy can actually do malacha for a person who's a chayla. Shum refu any refu. I don't feel dorm shein b'hem mishum malacha gam ken oser. Even though there's no malacha involved, it's still oser. Because if you allow these things, like we discussed before, the sweating causing the person to sweat, if it's done for refu purposes, so it's going to be oser because people might eventually come to do other things which are prohibited. So the exercise example, the sweating example. The guy can't even do the rabbanans. You can't have a guy do the rabbanans for you, for the person who's ill, because he doesn't have the halacha b'charla. Base. If, however, we're dealing with a life-threatening illness, mitzvah to call a Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to do chilul Shabbos to save his life. Vazar is hareza meshubach. A person who hastens to do that is considered praiseworthy. Vashoyel, a person who stops to ask, is this mutter? Reza Shefik Domin. He is a murderer. Okay. Sif Katan Dalad Mitzvah. Perish Lazar Rafua. Person, it's a mitzvah to do Rafua for him. Vatam Mishum Nasib Bechai Behem, Velo Shiyamas Behem. The reason is because of the Pasuk of Bechai Behem, Velo Shiyamas Behem. Now, the more actually goes to a series of different potential drushes. And, the more at the end comes up with a drasha of Achai Behem, the more says all of the drashas have a problem in them except for the drasha of Achai Behem. One of the drushes over there, for example, the Mor says that there's a swara of it's that Shomer ben Eil is a Shabbos, where Shomer Lasus is a Shabbos. So your Shomer Shabbos is a do Shabbos. What does that mean? Your Shomer Shabbos is a do Shabbos. Means you're, if I need to be Mechal one Shabbos in order to keep many Shabbos, I'm going to be allowed to do that. So the Mishabura does not mention that drasha. We'll see later on the Bir Lacha talks about it. That drasha does not, according to Mishabura, that drasha does not stand. There are some Rishonim who say that drasha does stand, and there are some examples where that becomes halachically, you know, discussed. One place is there's a Rashba, which discusses the following issue, that Shimon was a Rashba, which the Rambam quotes in the end of Shin Zion, I think it's Shin Rambam Shin Zion, at the end of those, one of those two simonim. A woman who was being kidnapped by the priests. If you run after her now, you can save her, and she won't be taken to the convent and be forced to do Chilul Shabbos. But if you don't go now, the chance of getting her back will be very minimal. But to get her now, you'd have to do Chilul Shabbos to raise it. So Rashba says, well, you mechala one Shabbos, you shall keep many Shabboses. So you let me mechala one Shabbos to keep many Shabboses. So you do Chilul Shabbos now to save her from the priest, that she should be able to keep many Shabboses. So it means that the Rashba and that drasha stood as his own drasha. There's a concept of being Mechal Shabbos to keep Shabbos. It's nothing to do with Pikuach Nefesh. That's how the Rashba understood it. And then Rambam quotes it as a halacha l'maisa. Another place where it comes up is the question, what's the status of a fetus? Or what's the status of the child, the pregnancy before 40 days, where there's no life there? But if you do Chilul Shabbos, you'd be able to maintain this, to save this, whatever it's called. Whatever, it doesn't have a status of life yet. It's not v'chai behem. It's not a life yet. But on the other hand, if you v'chal the Shabbos, it'll keep many Shabboses. So there are applications of this concept without v'chai behem. That's why we'll see more later on that has significant applications. Vazaris. Person does it quickly. Ein l'kamam esim esif yud beiz b'hagosham mashu nitiv sham b'mishabura v'am yordes seib sim kufnan hey devinan shetei rafu yudu la noshim or akbim mamcha. It has, you know, I can't do some type of superstitious refuah, you know, do Chilul Shabbos to write some incantation, you know, that some person made up. If it's a kameya, which is known to cause a refuah, so that'd be a different story. You have these interesting halachic shailas, you know, you deal with these. Are you allowed to be mechallel Shabbos to call the Rav, the Bala Kabbalah, to give you this incantation? So, you know.
How's he
going to
pick up the phone?
What?
How's he going to pick up the phone?
Because he has his designated chillel Shabbos, you know, life emergency phone. He has that soul over there that they pick up the phone, they answer the phone. I mean, they have shailas like that. You're allowed to do these type of hoochie-woochie type of stuff, you know, is that...
What type of incantations are we talking, like Jewish incantations?
Whatever, you know, saying it has to be something which we know works, you know. Obviously, we'll discuss what's mutter and what's else.
I'm not Sephardi, we don't have these things.
Okay. Oh, Pimumcha, it has to be refuah, which is, you know, they have, you know, eat a cat's liver, you know, like, you know, okay.
Shas won the election.
You know, eat a cat's liver, so, like, you know, Mor talks about the one of the refuahs for rabies was eating a dog's liver. And the Mor says it wasn't a Yidu Rafu, which is Baduka, so you can't do it. Even though it's life threatening, but it just, we don't have, it's a superstition, it doesn't really work.
But I'm sorry, incantation, just saying words would be potentially us as a Rafu?
No. But then the point is the issue is wearing a Kameh outside or riding a Kameh. There's other issues. Okay. The person who asks if you're allowed to do this, Pirish. Also, Isha, who you mischased, he wants to be a chosid. He needs a rabbi to tell him it's mutter before he does it. The raise a shevet domit. Shabbos who harlech lishol, while he's going to ask, the person can get more ill, and potentially it would be life threatening. Do not stand by idly while your brother is dying. Adds another step, and he says the one who asked the question is asked too, is considered degraded. Pirish, What does that mean? What did he do wrong? Shemeshim shematam chacham b'mkayma yahayla lidrish b'pirkal akol kadei sheyedu kolam shlitzarchol l'sharloi. It was his responsibility to make this known to people publicly that you don't ask questions. Well, they asked him the question means he didn't get the message across to his seber that you better don't wait. So we call him, he's maguna, he's degraded by the fact that he's allowed the situation to come to be. The person is maguna.
This is a maguna thing. The fact that there was a shiloh.
Right.
That he himself is, that he didn't teach.
Correct.
Our reason is going on the second person, the
one who's asked, the question to. He's worried about people doing Chilul Shabbos, and he doesn't want them to do Chilul Shabbos for him. That is improper to do that such a thing. The Rambam says that a person who refuses Chilul Shabbos or Chilul of a mitzvah when it's necessary, he is considered he's held responsible for his death if he dies. It's like a suicide.
Rabbi, I understand that when it's legabe, somebody's like actually like sick about it's
expired.
Yeah, but legabe things like sakanos, like it sounds. I guess my question is v'chai behem only relative to somebody who's sick, or it's also something that's also relative to sakana? Because like, let's say there's like the fan is going, like one of these like oscillating fans that like they can spark fires. Like things like that. That's also v'chai behem, or v'chai behem.
And it has to be if it's a real bona fide chashash, that potentially. We'll see later on that there are different levels of where, with all of this musar shmuz that we just gave, right? So that's part of the rabbi's job is to teach. So that's what we're going to do, right? There has to be a sakana l'faneinu. In other words, well, if A causes B and B causes C, and it's eventually it could be dangerous. That's not,
so we better
listen well.
Listen well, because we wouldn't want our Rebbe to be
considered maguna. Okay. Sif Gimel. Let's hold it here.
Where is Dirshu supposed to be?